And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, nor of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for his glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to that well-known portion of Scripture we looked at last week, John chapter 3. We've mentioned many times there are three important chapters in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, so you can know the human ruin which has entered into the world. The good news is you can know Romans chapter 3 and the redemption that Christ has given to us on that cross of Calvary. And then to know John chapter 3, of that regeneration, that work which God does within the human soul. We've mentioned many times we are not here to preach to people about being goody-two-shoes. We're not here to tell people of how nice they are. The great message we've got is the message of what God has done for us. The message of this book is the great message of Christ coming and dying on our behalf. And it doesn't end there. It's then of the great work of the third person who comes and enters into our heart and applies this wonderful regeneration. You've heard of that word. You've heard of it in town centres. Those town centres these days need to be regenerated. They're dead. They need to come to life. And so it is that we find here in John chapter 3, this is the passage, normally as we speak of it in these words, of being born again. The only problem with mentioning those words, being born again, I know that there may be those who object. And one of the reasons may be this, simply because of this, they may be ignorant of the fact that these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ first, and not by Billy Graham. No, it's actually the teaching of our Lord. It's a translation. It means to be born from above. And then there may be others who perhaps are always a bit sensitive when we speak about this, because the idea is that someone will have an experience that will be so emotional that will make you mentally unbalanced. And then you think, well, I'm not sure about this being born again. And then there will be those who perhaps say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not into that kind of born-again stuff, and I'll tell you why. Because the many which have told me that they are, I've got news for you. They don't seem to be any better, perhaps even worse, and sometimes morally and ethically and spiritually, there's this big question mark. And the reason we want to take and look at this once again this day is because of two things, really. Three things. One, there will be those who perhaps just have never been taught and yet have known of the life of God within them. And that to show you that what's taken in your life is that God has been at work. And it's not something which is being religious, not something now simply of being of yourself, but there is this work which God does, and it's been in your heart and in your soul. And then there will be others, perhaps because you may claim that you are, because of some experience that you've had. I'm going to show you today, you may not be. You may not be. To see what it is that one is born again. But thirdly, for us all here today, for unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. There's the must, which we need to know. And our text is really one text, very simply, is taken from verse 6. I'll read to verse 7. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And what happens, as we looked at last week, is that there's this man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He's a ruler, the ruler of the biggest religious sect in Israel at that time, the Pharisees. He's someone like the archbishop, someone you would think would know something about the coming of the Lord Jesus, the signs which he's done, the things and the acts which he has accomplished. And he comes to Jesus, and the point we made last week was this. Is remember he came speaking of what he knew. He tells them in verse 2, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher, come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And here's Nicodemus, and he comes now to the Lord Jesus, and he says, we know, we know. He wasn't like the prejudice which was in his sect. He was open-minded, he was rational. He realized there was something of God. Jesus stops him right in his tracks and says, stop right there. I'm going to tell you now, Nicodemus, truly, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And just to prove the point, Nicodemus answers him in verse 4 in a way in which he shows that he has not a clue. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And that's the point, isn't it? And Nicodemus says, is that, well, okay, if I was to start again, if I was to have my life again, and you may have actually thought that many times, you must have come to the point in your life and you thought, if I had this life again, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't make the same mistakes. I know a bit more. I'll be a little bit wiser. I'd have a greater understanding how things work. If only I had this life once again and I could start all over. And Jesus begins and he has to tell him, listen very carefully. You could come and have your life born 3 times, 50 times, 100 times. It's going to make no difference because that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. And you know, it's that which I want us to look at, of what it is here in verse 6, when the Lord Jesus says these words, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Now what happens to say what it is not? And you know, I know there are many perhaps who would have and would claim some spiritual experience. All I'll say to you about that is this: that is not odd in any way. We're living in a world where God is present. And you know, we're people who have been made in such a way. There will be those who will claim that they have known of a presence, they have known of a feeling, they've had perhaps some premonition, they've known some dream, they have had some kind of vision, they have known many of these kind of things. And although you may have known of those kind of things, that's not what this is speaking of here. This is speaking of something far deeper and far greater. That which is born of spirit, big S, gives birth to spirit, small s. And it's not just that you have a momentary spiritual feeling or tingling. There's something far greater in the whole experience of what God has to do with a human soul. I know that there was a person who came a number of years ago. And as they came a number of years ago, they said to me, well, I'm going to another church because they've got deeper teaching than what you've got. You're not dealing so much with the things of the gifts of the Spirit. Well, all I can say to you, even here this day, listen to this. You may even know of the very experience of the gifts of the Spirit. You may be able to speak with the tongues of angels and prophesy, and we have miracles that you remove mountains. Do you know what Paul says? If you don't have the grace of God and the love of God, you're nothing. You're nothing. And just knowing these things doesn't make you a Christian, although it may have been preached many times. Listen what he says. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Remember a number of years ago, there was a youth camp which took place somewhere in England, and a number of, in this town of Narberth, we've missed nothing, have we? We've missed nothing. And every kind of movement and religious kind of fervour for a moment, just lasts for a season. Well, on this particular summer, 15 young children, teenagers, had gone to this meeting and they'd come back. And they'd given the testimony, and the testimony was this, that they had been zapped. Zapped. That was the theological content of this experience. But on that very testimony of being zapped, they were going to be baptized. And I remember going to the leader of the church and saying to him, I've got news for you. I'm living in this town. I know these children. I know the teachers of these children. There's been no change within them. And if you think it's hard trying to tell religious people who have gone to church, religious people who deal with creeds and deal with things of religion, that they need to be born again. You try preaching now to a generation that believes that because they've known of being zapped, and you've got to tell them, I don't care how zapped you've been, you're going to need something far deeper and far more within your heart and in your life. And Jesus tells this Nicodemus, here is what you need to know. That spirit needs to give birth to spirit within you. And look, I appeal to anyone here, because I know how it is when you're talking to people and you say, look, you need to become a Christian. And they say, well, look, I was there at one time and I had this heart attack. I want to tell you, I felt a presence with me. And then there'd be those who've been grieving and they say, do you know, I felt someone supported me. I don't disbelieve it for one moment. But what I'm going to ask you is this. No matter how religious you may have been, how many creeds you may have recited, how many hymns that you know, how much you may have prayed and read the Bible, you must be born again. And even this, please, no matter how many times you may have walked the aisle, or how many times you've raised your hand, or how many times you may have felt something, you need to realize that there's a work of what God is saying here. And it's this. It's of a spiritual life, a spiritual dimension, which is going to be made within you. And it can happen powerfully. It can happen very quietly. You may not know when it happens, but you'll know this. A thought comes into your mind. A word comes to your heart. A prayer which is made. And in that very place, whatever it was, life, spiritual life, has begun to be formed within you. And a spiritual dimension begins now to take place. And something has changed. And that's what we're speaking of. Let me try and describe to you what it is, perhaps in a more positive, although it may be negative. Look, when the Lord Jesus Christ tells Nicodemus, because can I go back into my mother's womb? No, forget that, because it's not going to help you. You're going to need something now of a spiritual nature, which is from above. All your learning, all your education, back to school, back to church, not going to help you. What you really need is this. And what we've been told is not something which is now going to be added to your constitution as a human being. I need to make that point. We're not now that you're now going to be made, so to speak, something that you were not. I say that because there was a teaching. I think the Methodists had it. John Wesley had it, where he said that there would be a spirit which will be given to you. No, listen now. This is how the Bible puts it. When God made you, he made you both body and soul. He made Adam, and then he breathed breath into his body. That breath of God, the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God in Hebrew. And what happens is that we were spiritual beings. We had communion with God. You've been made a spiritual being in this sense. You've got a conscience. You've got a mind. You've got a heart. You've got a will. But as we've learned over the weeks, it was dead in its trespasses and in its sins. And then there's that you who were dead hath he quickened. And the Spirit of God comes and kindles. And he comes into your heart and into your soul. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Only God can do that. If you've ever had a kind of desire for God in your life, if you've ever had a thought that you need to change, if you ever come to realize of who Jesus Christ is and the things of God and the reality, that's born of the Spirit of God. He gives life into our members. And he, now the Lord Jesus Christ, is being born within us. And you know of that. I'll just give you that one little verse. We did read it last week. It's how he comes and he is created and formed in our very hearts. That you've been born again, not with corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. And you hear this wonderful message of Jesus Christ. And you hear of all that he's done for you. And the Spirit of God takes it and he brings life into your heart. Let me just read you a few verses to cement this point. What God does for the human being When a person is born again, he makes you a spiritual being. It's not just that moment. The Holy Spirit himself gives birth. Just look at these verses. Just to bring that to you, it's not just momentary. You'll find it here in Romans chapter 8. I'll just give you these verses. Verse 4, for example. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Then verse 4, who do not walk in the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Big S. Then you've got verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Notice now, two big S's. Verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You find it again here in these verses. Verse, for example, verse 16. The Spirit himself, big S, bears witness with our spirit. We're the children of God. Or those verses that I read to you, even from that chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, did you not understand that? For the natural man does not receive the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things spiritual. And what happens now is that God comes and he does this work, and you are now being changed, and you are a person who is walking and thinking of these spiritual realities which you once did not know. It's something far more substantial, foundational, complete, that happens in the Christian and in the believer's heart. Let me just give you a few lessons from this for us this day. As you read there in verse 6, it'll help you to understand something of the life and of the tension that you've got. Remember what Nicodemus says, wants to go back into his mother's womb. That can't take place, because that which is of flesh is different, utterly contrary to the things of the Spirit. You read of that also in Galatians chapter 5, for example. I don't even like going through the list that Paul mentions in Galatians 5, which are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. The list goes on. And of which he says, of those who practice these things shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now there's a reason why Nicodemus needs to be born again. Because the flesh is corrupt and the flesh is of death. And when someone says to you, well, this is the way that I've been made, and this is how God made me. No, that's not how God made you. It's what we become. And that's why you need to be born again. Because if you live in that flesh, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. It has to be this spiritual reality and birth, which is now something else, which is from this world. Not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. And he comes. I want you to learn that. And there's a tension within you, perhaps even today. It's not that you just become total spiritual. You've got bodies. And we are people who know what it is to live as it is in the flesh. But now a new dimension is being added to your life. Do you know, we need, don't we, to learn that as a church. We are living in days where we have come to a point. Can you imagine this? We're trying to proclaim the gospel and to minister to people by the things of the flesh. You know, if we could only educate people, and we need educating in this town, the amount of people we've known with drink and drugs and the young people who are lost, And even the church joins on this bandwagon. As long as we could give people better housing. Well, look, have you not woken up? Have you not smelt the coffee? We're the most educated we've ever been. We've got the best homes we've ever been. We're in this very state. But all of a sudden, the church joins on this bandwagon that what we need to do to change and to bring the kingdom of God about, we need to grab hold of these mountains, whether it's media and art and culture and politics and banking. Do you think that could change a human soul? That which is of flesh is flesh. That which is of spirit is spirit. And he says, well, you need to learn this. And if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. And if you just sow to the spirit, you will of the spirit reap everlasting life. I tell you, as a church, we've gone mad. Do you know how we become as a church? We've come as a church that we want to be as close to the world as we possibly can without sin, believing that as if we were worldly and fleshly and carnal, that we can produce Christians and we will identify with them and change them. Now, let's not be silly about this. This is not how it works. If you were to take the things of the flesh, you could take the music of the flesh, you could take the teachings of the flesh, you could take the ways of the flesh, all within this world will not produce one Christian. Now, those who have been in the Bible study know that I'm not good at any agriculture. But I'm going to say it's like this. I got this right. Pigs give birth to piglets. Yeah. Got it. Horses, may not be that. Mares give birth to foals. And cows give birth to calves. And everything gives birth after its kind. Now, how do you expect for one moment to make and produce a godly, loving, spiritual, committed Christian when all that we want to do in the life of a church is be as worldly as possible? And you think to yourself, no, we'll produce what we have sown. Just mark this because it happens. I watched it online and you just think where we're going and what happens. Because you can be taken up with religious things in a sheer, utter, carnal and fleshly way. And I hope this is not going to be politically correct, I know. But anyway, whatever happened in this particular, it was someone, which has been local. It was a woman who was being ordained. You may have views about that. But I assure you, what she was ordained in was not these robes, but it was this mini dress. I thought the service wasn't going to go good, but let me just tell you something about it. And what happened was this, is that I knew someone else who had been, and they had also, and I said, what did you think of that service? And they said to me these words, and they said, there was too much flesh. But I wasn't just speaking of the dress. If you only listen to the music, how come you can sing, what a friend I have in Jesus, with a sensual, sexual connotation? What a friend. And you say, how can you dabble with spiritual things in what you're doing in a carnal and a fleshly way? I got news for you. You sow to the flesh. And of the flesh you will reap corruption. Sow to the spirit, and you will reap everlasting life. Let me be a bit more positive. What he says here is this. What happens is that when that spiritual life enters into you, it's going to affect, you see, every area of your living. It's not just in chapel, not just in church. It's what you become. In the desires that you have. In the direction that you go. even of the dress, perhaps, that and the clothes, and the flashiness, perhaps, even of it. There may be something of the flesh, even in a suit. But all of it will be affected. And what you'll find is this, is that all of a sudden, God's Spirit has touched your dead soul. The third person, the Holy Spirit, has come now and touched you. And you have a desire for holy things and for the things of God, which you never had before. Have you not thought of that? That as you come in your life, you have lived like this, and then all of a sudden, you want to know something, whether there's a God and who Jesus is. And what happens in your desires of what you have, you want to come to him and obey him. And then you realize you can't. You want to love him. But what's even more, as I told you, the wonderful thing is this. We're sowing spiritual seeds this morning. We're sowing that incorruptible seed, that seed which the Holy Spirit takes. It's the wonderful news that your sins can be forgiven. Eternal life can be given to you. The blessing of the Holy Spirit can come upon you. And you can know this very day of fellowship and communion with the Almighty God. And you can know what it is that you would be with him and walk with him and enjoy that. It's the wonderful gospel of what Christ has done, his only Son, and his great love towards you. And if you believe it, if you believe it, and take it into your heart, you know, the Spirit comes and you say, yes, he died, and you see something of him. He reveals it to you. He reveals yourself, and you repent, and you have life which has come within you. You've got new desires, and you want to be in a place of worship where at one time you say, I've always been. Yes, but you went kicking and screaming. Or if you think of, I told you many times, perhaps I was too hard on him, and of Luther, who was here, and I never used to know, he was brought up, never one day did he not come. Never one day did he refuse in the house not to come. Every time I said, let's pray, he'd always pray. When he went up to Aberystwyth, to the leaving home, first thing he does is that he goes to church. He invites people from the flat. Goes in the evening. Goes to the prayer meeting. Goes to the Christian Union. Goes to the mission. Becomes missionary, he said. And I kept telling him all the year, I don't care if you're missionary secretary. I don't care if you're in all the prayer meetings. You need to be born again. And thank the Lord. As he said, and he gave the testimony, you can't see anything different in me now to what I was when I was here, except this. Now I love, and want to come and do those things. It's going to affect, you know, the direction and the places you go. Forgive me, but there's a minister in the area, and I hope that no one knows who he is. And I understand that sometimes we go places we don't want to go. But when your holidays is Las Vegas, every year you think to yourself, have you been there? How you can, have you been there? I mean, you can't live there for long. And then your direction's going to change. And the places you go, you're going to change. And these things are all going to change. And everything about it. Look, there may be someone here today, and I heard the story. I've known of people too, of perhaps, I don't know how, but women who have been pregnant. And I have not known that they're pregnant, and they've gone to work, and there's been a surprise. They thought there was something strange, and they didn't know. And then they've come from work with a baby, a newborn baby. Do you know, there are people like that in this place spiritually. There is that life which is being formed within you. You're unsure. You don't know. Couldn't even in a million years have imagined that there's such a thing. And then you come to that very place. Do you know something? There's been new birth, which is in one's heart, and Christ has been formed within you. That's God, only God. No one else can do it. That's the mercy and grace of God Himself, who's given you birth.